Hawaii today is as dependent on oil imports as it ever was, but it's moving away from fossil fuels. And although the state has a long way to go to meet its goal of energy self-sufficiency, today's oil refineries and fossil fuel providers operate in a very different climate than a decade ago. Change is clearly in the air. Jim Yates is the president of Par Hawaii, which operates the state's largest refinery with a rated capacity of 94,000 barrels a day. We asked him for his take on his industry's long-term future.
We're fortunate, I think, with our refinery here. We have a refinery that has been designed to be very flexible in the types of crude it can run, and that combined with the fact that we sit in the middle of the Pacific allows us to really source our crude globally. Mm-hmm. And so we're on the world market. We can run a variety of crudes. Since our ownership of this refinery, we've probably run close to 20 different crudes. Mm-hmm. Those are some of those from North America, Alaska. So far this year, probably 30% of what we have run has come from North America. The other 70% has been sourced relatively equally between the Middle East, Asia, and Africa. But in any given year, last year, for instance, probably in excess of 40% of our crude came from North America.
When you talk about different types of crude, what does that mean? For different purposes?
Yeah, it's interesting. So every type of crude, depending upon what field it's coming from and where it's produced, has different characteristics that will impact its value in the market, so what you have to pay for it, as well as the types of products and amount of those types of products that will be made from it. So crudes are not all the same. They each have a different flavor, as some would call it, mm-hmm. and each can have a different yield of valuable products.
I mean, that's one of many things. I'm sure the public doesn't know that much about. The other thing I was thinking about, I just want to go back to what you're talking about in terms of our location in Hawaii, because usually, frequently, let me put it that way, you hear Hawaii's geography talked of as a disadvantage, you know, isolated in the middle of the Pacific. But you're looking at it as a hub and obviously using it as a hub to different parts of the world, you know, as a pivot point, yeah?
That's correct. I mean, there's certainly an element of being isolated out here. We obviously don't have indigenous sources of crude here in Hawaii, and so there is a cost associated with sourcing it and bringing it here that wouldn't be the same if we were sitting in the middle of a crude-producing region. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, we're located in a way that, in a place where we're not dependent upon any single source of crude, and so we can access it from virtually any place in the world, which I think provides a degree of resiliency in the event of natural disasters or that sort of thing.
You do hear Hawaii spoken of as vulnerable in terms of delivery systems. Were they to break down, then we would be isolated in the middle of the Pacific, yeah?
Well, that's true. In the sense of any major natural disaster that were to strike Hawaii, depending upon the specifics of it, it could cut us off from the world for a period of time as we recover, and that's, of course, what every, I guess, island faces, a risk that we all have to deal with, whether it's energy supplies or food supplies or toilet paper.
Sure. Well, how do you hedge against that?
Well, again, I think it starts with the multiple sources of supply, which takes away sort of one vulnerability.
Right.
The other is we have storage, so we have a large storage facility, and I'd say at any given time, of course, this swings and it depends on the product you're talking about, but we probably have 15 to 30 days of supply in storage, and we have 8 different terminals. So we have our refinery, but we also have remote terminals on all the different islands, which kind of spreads the risk a bit as to where product is stored.
Is it possible to get any kind of a time estimate on how long our supply would last in such an event?
It depends, again, on the product, but as I say, I think the refineries probably are in the 15 to 30 days worth of supply. As I understand it, the utilities typically hold 30-plus days, 30 to 45 days mm-hmm. of supply. Mm-hmm. So it depends on the particular product that you're speaking of.
Well, let's hope we don't have to consider that any further, you know, but
I think that's right. I think the most important thing in the event of one of those disasters would be how quickly the state working together could recover the critical infrastructure to get product in here. So harbors would be obviously one of the biggest things that would need to be focused on first.
Sure, sure. Thinking long term for your industry, how do you clearly we all need gas in the car today, but every projection of the future 20, 30 years from now means a lot fewer cars pulling up to the pump, right?
How do you and
your industry plan long term for that eventuality?
To some extent, the definition of long term plays into that, the answer to that question a lot, because I think we've sort of learned in our industry that long term is something like 5 years, which typically isn't how you think about long term. But the technology and the world is changing so fast, and there's lots of examples just in the last few years of that happening, of how quickly things can shift. It was less than a decade ago, 2008 to be exact, when the price of oil was $147 a barrel that summer of 2008, with projections that would have said by now we would have been in excess of $200 a barrel.
Mm-hmm.
And that drove a lot of decisions with regard to renewables and alternatives and production. And now we're sitting here 9 years later, and it's $50 a barrel. So the world changed so quickly, but we in our industry we look out about 5 years and make our decisions really in a time frame that looks like that. We believe obviously the demand for our product here in Hawaii is going to continue during that period. It's growing in some areas. Well, a big part of our production is devoted to the tourism industry, and so jet fuel is one of our major products,
mm-hmm.
and that has continued to grow in demand. And we don't see a lot of solar powered jets coming around the corner anytime soon.
No, so. A battery-powered jet, it's hard to imagine. So it's a matter of kind of shifting your resources to where they will continue to be needed decades down the line is what it sounds like.
That's exactly right. The other element I would point out is we're not an integrated oil company, so we don't own the crude in the ground. And as such, we're a little agnostic as to what the feedstock is. So we're actively working with potential producers and entrepreneurs to look for alternative sources, renewable sources of feedstock that could replace oil in our refining process, still produce a liquid fuel that could be used in our systems but might come from renewable sources. So, we try to follow, be aware of, and plugged into what the state's objectives are, and then sort of evolve and amend our operations to fit that.
Jim Yates is the president of Par Hawaii, which operates one of Hawaii's two oil refineries in West Oahu.